said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. From now on, you are the rock. You are Petra, the rock. And upon this rock, I shall build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I shall give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." There's something about the rock that Jesus said, "Peter, you are the rock, because I'm going to build my church on the rock." We got too many of us that aren't like a rock. We're like water. There's no stability in our life. And we wonder why nothing is ever built on our life. We wonder why there's no building, why we don't progress, why our life doesn't build up. But Jesus can't build on the sand. Remember what it says? The wise man builds his house upon the rock. The wise man builds his house. The wise man builds upon the rock because the rock will keep standing. It won't bend, it won't bow, and it won't burn. Too many of us, our lives are like shifting sand. Shifting sand, and when the winds come and the waves come and life storms happen, we get blown to and fro. In this time, friends, we're seeing storms. We're seeing disease. We're seeing petulance. We're seeing cultural uprising. I've never seen a time. It's like, and I'm not trying to get political, but every religion besides Christianity is politically correct. Christianity's not. Why? Why? I mean, if you're anti-religion, you hate them all. I hate Buddha. I hate Hindu. I hate Mother. No, no. They just hate Christians. We're the only religion that's anti, we're not politically correct. Nobody make, I mean, you know, you could be a Hindu and all the kids in school think you're cool. Wow, that's cool. Christians, oh, that's offensive. In my name. We live in a time where attacks are coming. Well, we saw that recently with COVID. We saw where people stood. Oh, it's easy. You know what Peter said? Messiah, Jesus, I'll never betray you. But when the soldiers came, when the swords were real, when the spikes were real, all of a sudden Peter was nowhere to be found. Sometimes we say this bold talk, oh, I'll never bow, I'll never bend. But when life happens, when stuff comes at us, when it gets a little dangerous, then we get scared. As Dad says many times from the scripture, if foot soldiers tire us, what will we do when the horsemen come? Friends, if a little mask will keep us out of church, what will happen when the semi-automatics and the Uzis are out in the street trying to mow us down for being a Christian? Will we have the guts to stand up and say, I will not bow, I will not bend, and I will not burn? Or will then all this tough talk about dying for our faith, when it really gets real to dying for our faith, will we die for our faith? Or is it just something we talk about? Is it like a role-playing game? There's something about the rock. There's something about the rock. I want to read a song, and I would play it, except I'm honestly tired of getting beat up by religious people who really are ignorant, and I just am tired of it. So I don't even play these songs anymore or get people to sing them. But I'm going to read the lyrics, okay? I'm going to read the lyrics so nobody can accuse me of playing a secular song. But it's a famous song by somebody named Bob Seger. And it says here this. Stood there boldly, sweating in the sun. I felt like a million. I felt like number one. The hottest summer, I never felt that strong like a rock. I was 18. I didn't have a care. I was working for peanuts, but not a dime to spare. But I was lean and I was solid everywhere. I was like a rock. My hands were steady. My eyes were clear and bright. My walk had purpose. My steps were quick and light. And I held firmly to what I felt was right. like a rock. Like a rock, I was strong as I could be. Nothing ever got to me. I was something to see like a rock. And I stood arrow straight, unencumbered by the weight of all those hustlers and their schemes. I stood proud. I stood tall. High above it all, I still believed in my dreams like a rock. But now listen to this. 20 years now, where'd they go? 20 years now, I don't know. I sit and I wonder sometimes where they've gone. But sometimes late at night when I'm bathed in the firelight, the moon comes calling pale white, and I recall like a rock, like a rock. The sun upon my skin, hard against the wind, I see myself again like a rock. We've been called to be a rock. In a generation where the storms are coming like never before, where the fires of hell are coming like never before, we've been called, Steve, to stand in our ground, to stand our position, to keep our position firm like a rock. And I want to read from Isaiah. And I'm going to read Isaiah 50, starting in verse 4. And this scripture, and then I'm going to get Val to demonstrate something for me, and then we're going to get one more scripture and a story, and we're done. But I want to read this Isaiah 50 and verse 4 if you have your Bible. And it's a powerful word by the prophet. And it deals a lot about the attacks that we're under now and that we've always been under and always will be under. But it talks about the dangers. I will say this. One thing about this, Isaiah talks about how dangerous it is to talk about other people. And one thing I will say, my dad taught me. I mean, and my mom too. I was not always perfect in doing everything they told me to do or be about. But one thing that they taught me that I never did break, to my knowledge, on purpose, was I never talked about men of God. And I'd see them on TV, and some of them I didn't really know about, you know, but I knew to keep my mouth shut because I knew that was a dangerous game and I didn't want to go there. I will caution you that much. Don't do it. But I'm going to read what God says, the prophet Isaiah. The sovereign Lord has given me these words of wisdom so that I now know how to comfort the weary. Are there some tired people in here that need comforting? Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will. The sovereign Lord has spoken to me, and I have listened. I have not rebelled or turned away. I offered my back to those who beat me, and my cheeks to those who pulled on my beard. I did not hide my face from mockery and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Listen to this part. Therefore, I have set my face like a stone, determined to do his will. And I know that I will not be put to shame. He who gives me justice is near. Who will dare to bring charges against me now? Where are my accusers? Let them appear. See, the Lord, sovereign Lord is on my side. Who will declare me guilty? All my enemies will be destroyed like old clothes that have been eaten by moths. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys his servant? If you are walking in darkness without a ray of light, trust the Lord and rely on your God. But watch out. Watch out, you who live in your own light and warm yourselves by your own fires. This is the reward you will receive from me. You will soon fall down in great torment. You may be seated. Powerful word for those of us in our life that if you've not been persecuted, you're not doing something right. You better start living the gospel. You better get in the game. If you're not being persecuted, you're not in the game. If nobody's talking smack about you right now, then you're not following Jesus. You better check yourself because his word says that they will hate you for my name, for my sake. Listen, they've buried him. They've crucified him. They hated him. They plotted against him. And if I look like him, then that's what they're going to do to me too. So we got to get in the game. And this word talks about somebody that's the prophet who's being torn down. But there's one part of that scripture that I want to talk about just for a second. And I think we talked about it in youth one night. And it says that I will set my face like a rock. Doesn't say like a sailboat. Like a flint, like a rock. The wind comes against the rock, and the rock don't move. The storms beat on the rock, but the rock stands strong. The trees may fall. Listen, we've had hurricanes. We have floods in Hurley. The mountain, the mud all fell off the mountain. But as the mud all fell down, the rock stood straight. All the mud can fall off our lives when the storms hit. All the mud can run down the hills. But the rock that's down below will stand straight and stand firm. It ain't going nowhere. The storms may blow all kinds of junk off you. They can come against you. They can talk. They can throw arrows. They can hurl. But you just stand straight because your God will give you your victory. You don't gotta fight back. You stand like a rock. You stand like a rock. And you know, again, everything's so, gosh, everything's changed since we started ministering. You gotta watch what you preach nowadays, because everything that used to be just history or normal or something to talk about, a lot of it, and I'm not saying there's not good reason for some of it, but, you know, you just can't hardly talk about a lot of stuff anymore. But I will talk about this, and when I say this, I'm not saying it's a great thing or this person was a great person at all, but it's a famous history story, and I'm going to tell you about it because it applies here. Back in the war of 1865 between the states, there was a general, and he was a famous general. His name was Stonewall. But he was called Stonewall because in the heat of the most deadly battle, when a lot of the generals would have went up in the hills and hid and let the men fight, he stood down there on the line, perched on his horse, not going nowhere. And his men were getting whooped, and they looked up, and they yelled, "There yells Jackson standing like a stone wall." And it rallied them because they said, "My leaders are standing straight with us. My leaders believe in us. We're going to get through this thing. I'm here to tell you, God is with you. You just stand firm like a stone wall. He will do the battle. He will turn the tide." You say, "I'm tired of the arrows. I'm tired of getting whooped. My God's going to turn the tide." You just got to stand with resolve like a stone wall. So we got to ask ourselves this question. Are we a rock in our faith? Are we somebody that's dependable? Because it's really hard for me to deal with people, even in my personal life. My wife and I have talked about this, and other people, I'm sure, my family. You can't depend on people who 1 minute's up and 1 minute's down. I mean, you have some good times with them when it's good. But you got to have somebody by your side or in life where that you can count on them. You want brothers and sisters in this ministry, in our war, in our fight, as troops, as battle, in battle, who we can depend on, who you can depend on. I want to be somebody you can depend on. I'm not here to hold your hand. I'm not here to pat you on the head. But to know if hell's coming against you, that I got your back. You got to know that, and I got to know that. Because if you don't, I can't use you. We got to be like a rock. Look in the mirror and ask yourself, can I be counted on? Or am I wishy-washy? Because the Bible says we're to be like a rock. That no matter what comes against us, we stand firm and strong. Come here, Val. Come here, Vanna White. So we got a little thing here. I want to show you this demonstration. Because I believe there's two types of Christians. What's this? And I'm going to lift this up. Well, I will. What is that? And God gave me this word earlier while we were on the stage and you were praying with Jerry. This has nothing to do with the message. And I looked over and I saw this rock. And God gave me this word. It has nothing to do with the message. He said this. He said, some of you carrying around a rock and you think it's for you. Or you think it's for somebody else. And God says, get in the game. This is for the giants ahead. This is for the giants ahead. All right. See the water, all right? Okay, pour it in there. This is like Bill Nye the Science Guy. What shape is this water? Oh, we got a leak in our water. You picked a bad pitcher. I got to go quick. What shape is this water? Well, it has a shape. It definitely has a shape. It's the shape right now of a pitcher. Right? What's the shape of the water? Whatever it's in. Now pour it in a bottle. Don't worry about it. We got it. I tell you what, in the old days, I've calmed down. I'd start throwing water at you all, but I'm not going to do it. Now what shape's the water in? The bottle. It changed shape. Whatever you poured it in, it takes the shape of whatever you poured in. I'm going to tell you something. Whatever you put yourself around, if you're water, you'll be just like it. All right, now Vanna's going to help me here. Well, I like the Barker girls. Am I allowed to say that Price is Right? I probably shouldn't have said that. Y'all remember Jan? That's too much information. 81. All right, here we go. Now, why don't you put this rock in this bottle? What's the problem? We can't make the rock the shape of the bottle? How about can we make it the shape of the pitcher? What shape is the rock?
Whatever the shape of the rock is.
The rock don't take the shape of the container. It changes the shape of the container. Are you changing your environment or is it changing you? Thank you, Jan. Called to be rocks, world changers. And there's a time, we've never seen a time like this, that the world needs world changers. Your community needs a world changer. There's too many out there that call themselves Christians and we're like water. Whatever we're around, we take the shape of. If it's gossip, we take that shape. If it's negativity, we take that shape. If it's just I don't even mention Jesus or even bless my food, even though I'm not saying you have to do that, but sometimes it's a witness tool. That's why I do it. And I'm thankful. If I'm around the world, I look like the world. I'm in church. I act like the church. Around my family, I'll do whatever they do. And Lord, I'm so lonely. I fear loneliness so much, I'll hang out with anybody, no matter how negative they are, just so I won't have to be lonely. Like a rock. I think it starts young because we want to fit in. We all want to fit in the bottle. We don't want to step out. We don't want to stand out. But something you learn when you get old like us, you know what you learn? The world changers were the ones that never did care about fitting in. They couldn't fit in, and they're not going to fit in. That's the only ones that ever get anything done. Because think about it. If you do what everybody else does, you'll get what they did, which means everybody will be the average. Everybody will be doing the same thing. We'll all be in the same condition. But it takes some willing to step out and stand out and says, I won't fit in that bottle, Jack. I ain't fitting in that bottle, Jack. I'm a rock. I will stand firm for what I believe. I will stand firm. Your kids need a rock. Your church needs a rock. Your wife needs a rock. Your husband needs a rock. Your school needs a rock. Your job needs a rock. Your community needs a rock. Exactly. Because he knew that only someone with that kind of resolve could he build a church on. You are the ecclesia. We don't come to church, we come to worship. We are the church. And if we are the church and we are the bride, and of course Jesus says there's only one bride, we have to be unified. And so if we're split, somebody ain't the bride. I don't know who. I'm not going to get in that debate. That don't mean we all have to worship together, but we all have to be loving of each other and understand we're all different body parts. And if somebody isn't, they're not part of the body. And so why would God build an ecclesia on unstable people? And is that why he told Peter that this is why I'm going to build it on you? He's going to build it on the faith that Peter demonstrated when he revealed to him who he was. And Peter turned out, though he did have a few bumps along the road, he did stand like a rock, and he was crucified upside down, but he would not recant. He would not bow, he would not bend, and he would not burn. They tried to burn John the Baptist. They poisoned him, they tore John the Baptist, John the Revelator, John, the beloved John. They tried to torture him, they tried to burn him, they tried to poison him. He wouldn't burn. They set him on fire and he wouldn't burn. He would not bow, he would not bend, he would not burn. You can't burn a rock. So I'm going to read this scripture and then we're going to be quick. It's a little bit of scripture, bear with me. But the scripture is going to speak for itself. It's in the book of Daniel. And it's kind of like what the song that Sal sung earlier was about. And I think it's a good indication of where we are in this world, where the world is asking us to bend. You ever thought of that? The world's asking us to bend. And it seems like we're the only ones that's asking to bend. If you don't believe me, go to Afghanistan right now. I can't walk in the room. You guys know the story behind this tattoo? Over there, the Taliban, they paint this on the houses of suspected Christians. They have to come out and renounce Christianity or they're shot on the spot. This is a sign of Christ over there. And it's also a bullseye on your head if you got it. You can't, this won't come off, friend. Are you willing to be a rock? Book of Daniel, there was an exile, Babylonian exile, where they came and they got all the talents, or a lot of the talented people, and they took them to Babylon. And they wanted to make them like them. They wanted to make them pagan. They wanted to use their gifted and talented. They wanted to use their best. But they wanted to convert them to their ways and beliefs. The culture wanted their intellect and they wanted their gifts. They liked the fact they could sing real pretty. They liked the fact they made some dough. They liked the fact they were smart. They liked their talents. But they wanted to get all that God out of them. All that Yahweh out of them. So they took them to Babylon. Now the group that was left behind, we call the remnant. They weren't the shiniest people, but they stayed behind and they held the fort. Eventually, the exile, they came back and they reunited. It was a powerful thing. Well, among those were Daniel, but also among those were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I'm going to read in verse 3, Daniel, chapter 3. King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet tall and 9 foot tall, and he set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then he sent messages to the high officers, officials, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the provincial officials to come to the dedication of the statue he had set up. So all these officials came and stood before the statue King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. It was nationalism. You come and you bow to my statue. I'm the king. And then a herald shouted out, "People of all races and nations and languages, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, whatever that is, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and other musical instruments, bow to the ground and worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. You got to worship the king's statue. He's king. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. So the king makes a law. And the law is, you bow to my statue or we're going to burn you. The king makes a law that says you will bow to me or you'll burn. And so the sound of the musical instruments, all the people, whatever the race or nation or language, bowed to the ground and worshiped the gold statue the king had set up. But some of the astrologers went to the king and informed him on the Jews. There was a rat. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, long live the king. You issued a decree requiring all the people to bow down and worship the gold statue when they hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and the other musical instruments. That decree also states that those who refuse to obey must be thrown into a blazing furnace. So they reminded the king of the law, and then they said, but there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon. So these guys had got some clout. The king saw some talent in them. He gave them a position. But they pay no attention to you, the word says. They refuse to serve your gods, and they do not worship the gold statue you have set up. So now we got a problem. The king made a law, and there's three guys that he kind of likes, but they're not obeying his law. But they're not obeying his law because it conflicts with their faith. They've been taught they're not to bow to any other king. They served under him, but they didn't bow to him. Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage. He got mad. And he ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. When they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or worship my statue I have set up? I'll give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I've made. When you hear the sound of the musical instruments, but if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately in the blazing furnace. And then by what God will be able to rescue you from my power? Gave him one more chance. You obey my law. You compromise my faith, your faith. You put me above your God. You trust me above your God. I'll give you one more shot to bow, son. If you don't, in the fire. There's places in this world that's going on right now. Right now. And you know what is happening in those countries? Revival. I'm not criticizing anybody. I know it's Labor Day weekend and there's people on vacations, and that's a good thing. I miss on vacation sometimes. That's nothing wrong with that. You need time. And I also know we're in the middle of some kind of, you know, thing. But I also know this. There's underground churches where there's machine guns searching for Christians, where there's probably five times the people in this room today, hiding in a cave, worshiping God. They don't bow, they don't bend, and they won't burn. If they put a bull in their head, I promise you, they're not going to burn. They won't burn. So he gives them one more chance. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you. They knew who was going to fight for them. You don't need to answer the goofballs on Facebook or on Twitter or on Instabook or on TikTok or on the Coconut Telegraph or on the old gossip, what you call those old lines that everybody had, you could hear each other on. The ones you used to call, yeah, my wife, she's so old, she don't look it. I mean, you know, she don't look it. But she's so old, she used to have a party line, and she was so nosy, she would sneak and listen to all the neighbors' gossip. You know what I'm saying? She was about, You don't need to respond on the party line. You know what you need to do? Stand like a rock and let God do the work for you. You stand on what you believe. Don't bow, don't bend, and you won't burn, baby. You won't burn. You can't argue. They said, I'm not going to argue with you, King. You know why you don't argue with stupid people? They're better at it than you are. They said, we're not going to argue with you, King. We don't got to argue with you. We know where we stand. We're standing on the rock. Now listen to this. This is key. This is key. This is key. This is key. And then I'm going to tell a personal story I know. And we're going to finish up. This is key. This is a key verse right here. Because this is really where the rubber meets the road. This is really the moment. They tell the king, okay, we're not even going to argue with you. Listen to this part. If we are thrown into a blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. I kind of take that as a little bit of a jab, don't you? But even if he doesn't, listen to this. This is the part you got to get. We got to get this. This is the part. Even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty. He can rescue us, Jack. But listen to this. This is the part you got to get. Because this is the part we miss. We love God when he rescues us. But this is the key part. Even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up. Devil, I know God's going to cure this cancer. But even if he doesn't, we're going to praise anyway. We're standing like a rock. I know God can cure your anxiety, your depression, your grief. But you got to make it, can't make it conditional. Rocks are conditional. Waters are conditional. Rock is not conditional. You got to make your mind up. That whether you get the result you want or not, you ain't moving anyway. You will not bow, you will not bend, and you will not burn. We prayed for a thyroid. Bad report. But you can't just praise when report comes back good. You got to make your mind up. I'm believing. I have faith. But like a rock, I stand here. And if the report comes back bad, I'll praise and worship and go anyway. Every illness and calamity that comes before me and my family, I'm believing that God will take care of it. When I'm 108, if I were, I would believe that God's going to take care of it. But everyone, we got to pray the prayer that if it isn't your will and it is my will, that it is finally time to get on that chariot of fire and go on home. Then I'm still serving God anyway. I'm still praising anyway. I'm still standing like a rock wall. That's where it counts. In fact, I would say this. If you take away that verse, there's nothing special about this, the first part. Because anybody in the middle there, we talked about this with desperation. Anybody in the middle of your trial is going, oh, please, God. Oh, please, I trust you, God. I trust you, God. But standing like a stone wall requires more. It requires when the floods come, when the storms come, when the disappointments come, that we stand and show the world what a Christian is. And I may be wrong, I may be wrong. Some of these guys in this room are smarter than me. I may be wrong. But I believe we're going to see more and more of this very thing in the United States of America. I believe that we are going to start being put to the point of whether we will compromise our faith. And I'm not talking about minor stuff like political issues. We can all bend a little bit if it's just something stupid. Even Jesus said, give Caesar his. But I'm talking about fundamental, denying Christ kind of stuff. I believe that's coming. And if we're not stable over this little stuff, if we're not stable over the foot soldiers, if we can't be a rock in this time, how would we be a rock when the bullets start flying? How would we be in the rock? I mean, some of y'all, we got coal miners in here. My father-in-law was a coal miner. My grandfather was a coal miner. They were union. And you may not agree with union. That's up to you. I don't care. I don't care about that. But what I'm saying is they would sit in front of those strike lines and sit in front of those trucks. And if they got mowed over, they got mowed over. If they got shot, they got shot. If they got took to jail, they got took to jail. Because what they believed in, they were willing to stand up there for. Let me tell you something. I'm not telling you to stand up for a union. But I'm telling you, we got to have that kind of resolve for our faith in Jesus Christ. So we're going to finish up with old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it says this. The king was so furious. Now he's really mad. He gave him one more chance. We're making the devil mad. Your stonewall, your resolve, your faith, your pushing forward makes the devil mad. Makes the world mad. The world's watching us. And they want to see us cower down and know that it's really not real. And it makes them mad when people stand up. The king was furious. It says his face become distorted with rage. There's people out there, man, they're so mad. They got so much anger. Their face distorted. You ever see somebody so mad their face just is ugly? Anybody in here married? No, well, I didn't even say nothing yet. Y'all laughing. I just want to know how many married people's in the room. That's all. How much prettier is your husband when he smiles at you and tells you he loves you than when he's... I didn't talk about the wives because I'm sure they're pretty even when they're ugly. You amen that? Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, that just makes him more mad.
He just wants to eat chicken tonight. He got so mad and his face become distorted with rage. This is very descriptive. It's meant to convey how mad their faith made this man. Your faith makes Satan that kind of mad. So he told him, he commanded, heat that furnace 7 times hotter than usual. The furnace they used to burn people, the incinerator, let's just crank it up 7. Then he ordered some of his strongest men to bind. Don't forget this part. Bind. You've been bound, tied up. The world's bound you, tied you up, put you in a place you don't feel free to move. When you're bound, you're restricted. Some of us are finding ourselves in a restricted state. We've let the world bind us. We're bound. When you're bound, you're not functional. You say, why am I not functioning? Are we bound? Why is my life not prospering? Are you bound? They bind him. And then, and ordered them to throw him into the blazing furnace. Verse 21 or 20, yeah, I can't read. So they tied him up and they threw him in the furnace, totally dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because the king in his anger had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the three men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. Have you ever felt like you've been just thrown into torment? Life will sometimes throw you into torment. You're bound so you can't function or fight for yourself. Why do they bind people so they can't fight? Why'd you get cuffed? Right? Oh, like you, like he's the only one. It's so you can't fight or run, to make you helpless. There's a world out here that wants to make you helpless, unfunctional, tied up, and bound up so it can throw you into your torment. I think every word's important, and the king didn't just lower these men down into their furnace, but he threw them, disoriented, tossed. Some of us feel like our life's been tossed astray. You've been tossed into the furnace. Some of us feel like we once had purpose, we once had a plan, but now we're bound and now we've been thrown. You ever felt like you've been thrown before? Out of control? I know, you know, even when you get hit by a wave in the ocean, you can get so disoriented. You get a real good one, which is fun for me because I'm not scared of the water. But for people scared of the water, you can get just knocked and tossed, and you don't even know where you are. You come up, and the next one hits you, and you've lost your boogie board and all that. Imagine getting tossed by fire. Some of us, we've been tossed by fire. Some of us know what fire feels like. It's hot. It was so hot that the men who tried to throw them got killed. The people around them, the closest people to them, got, sometimes the closest people to you will get burned in the fire meant for you. Sometimes the closest people to your proximity will get burned by the fire meant for you. They got burned up. And so, surely this was the end of these troublemaking servants of Yahweh. But suddenly, say suddenly, King Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see four men unbound, walking around in the fire." They're walking around unharmed. And that fourth one, he looks like the Son of God. My NLT says it looks like a God. If you look at the literal translation, it says, literally, looks like a Son of God. Who's the Son of God? Oh, but Mary hadn't birthed him yet. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. There's always been the Son of God. There's always been Yeshua. And long before a virgin birthed a baby, standing in the middle of the fire with three Hebrew children, was Jesus walking in the flames. A little bit later, he walked on water. But in this occasion, he walked through fire. Your fires don't intimidate. You think cancer intimidates him? You think depression intimidates him? You think addiction intimidates him? You think loneliness intimidates him? So Shadrach, he came as close as he could to the fire. And he shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. Let me say something. Some of us can be in the middle of our fire, and we encounter Jesus in our fire. And he unbinds us, and we have this feeling, a great feeling, and maybe I'm going somewhere, and... But then we fall away. And I've seen that happen so many. I've seen a lot of people keep going, and I've seen a lot of people, they come, and we've said this before, this convocation, if you had all the people, not to brag, because it's not necessarily a brag, I don't know if it's a brag or a diss, but if you had everybody that came to this altar, counting this church, the old church, the convocation center would be full. But I think sometimes this part here where the king says, come out of the fire, and they step out of the fire. I think sometimes we miss that part. We look at the fact that Jesus was with them in their fire, but sometimes people are so comfortable in their dysfunction that they want Jesus to stay in that fire with them, but they want to stay in the fire. Jesus, it's a miracle. I see Jesus, and my hands are now free. But I'm going to stay in this fire. And Jesus, you better stay with me. And if I don't do well, I'm going to blame you, because this fire started getting hot after a while. And Jesus says, why don't you just step out? We want Jesus to stay with us in our fire and comfort us and keep us from getting burned. But we're not willing to step out of the fire. The king told him to step out, and as we come to a close, they stepped out, and it says this, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. I believe there's people in this room today that you've had a surefire, 100% encounter with Jesus. He's come to you. He's rescued you in your fire, but I believe he's calling you today to step out of your dysfunction, to take an additional step, to step out of your environment, to step out of those people you're talking to, hanging out with, social life, to step out of your dysfunction, to step out of your fire. They stepped out of the fire. Then listen to this. The high officers, officials, governors, advisors crowded around them. People were looking. You may feel like in this room like you're a nobody. And I believe with all my heart there's people in this room that feel that way. And that's a lie of the devil. But there's people looking at you. People you don't even know are looking at you. People you don't think are looking at you. But they're looking at you. And they're wanting to see how you react. The Word of God said all these people were standing around in amazement looking. And they said not even a fire had not even touched them. Not a hair on their heads was singed. Their clothing wasn't scorched. They didn't even smell smoke. So Nebuchadnezzar said this. Praise the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel, the Lord's angel, we talked about that before, to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die. Listen to this. They were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own. I want you to listen to this real quick. We're coming to a close. These guys just were thrown in fire and weren't even burned. But yeah, amazing, right? Isn't that the part that blows our mind in this story? Isn't that the part that blows our mind in this story? That's the big boom. That's the gorilla in the room. That's pow, boom. You know, that's the 500-pound gorilla in the room. But listen to what impressed the king. What did he say? He didn't say, wow. You know, look what he says. He said this. They defied my command, the king's command, and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god. Therefore, I make this decree. If any people, whatever race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn from limb to limb, and their houses will be turned to heaps of rubble. There is no other God who can rescue like this God. He made a decree according to the Word of God. You can read it. Not because they stepped out of the fire, because they were willing to step into the fire. Did you read that? Josh, did you get that? Because they were willing to step into the fire. It was that verse earlier that counted. It was the verse earlier that made all the difference. That we're willing to go into the fire. God's going to rescue us, but even if he don't, we're going anyway. That's the thing that impressed the king. He said, they were willing to make a difference and stand out to disobey me and risk death. And because of that, we're making a holiday. He was impressed, Steve, not because they stepped out of the fire, because they stepped in. That's what's going to impress God. It's not your rescue. He's been rescuing all along. It's, are you willing to jump in the fire for him? That's what's going to impress God. That's what's going to impress your community. We got too many Christians that don't want to step into stuff. They say, oh, it's not my problem. Oh, there's somebody shooting a needle in their arm. It's messy. I don't want to get involved. The whole gospel is Jesus walking around and putting himself in other people's problems. He didn't have no problems. He stepped in everybody else's problem. And he rescued and he loved. So Nebuchadnezzar said, praise the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he said, we've already done that. There is no other God who can rescue like this. I don't know what you're going through, but I know the God who can rescue you. Go ahead.
Let me just say, Mike, can you all get this up? I want you to hang on. This is powerful. There was a lost man that didn't know Jesus, witnessed, and shared a testimony with me this past week at a local convenience store. And he said there were some people there that needed to check out and needed to pay for their stuff. And he said, as this other person stepped up in front of them and said, I want to pay for your whole thing. Now, to you that doesn't sound significant, does it? But to that lost man, he said, and don't that person go to your church? So, you know, it's one thing to come up here. It's one thing to come here and get caught up in all this powerful stuff. But it's another thing to live it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday outside these walls, where not other Christians are seeing you, but people who do not know Jesus and people who maybe have doubts or disillusionment about what faith and Christianity is all about. Because I hear that all the time. Pastor R, I don't think that stuff's real. Well, you know what? You're the ones that can prove that wrong. When you're willing to go in the fire, that's what will do it. I'm sorry.
That's good. It's about next level stuff, guys. And you've been called in this ministry to go to the next level. I know you have. And you want that, don't you? But it's going to take stability. It's going to take some spiritual lifting. We got to get off this bipolar stuff, man. We got to have stability. We got to have some rocks. Henry, you got to build that foundation on some rock, baby, right? Henry knows about that. He can build a house. We got to have some rocks willing to step into the fire. I want to finish with a story and we're done. But it touched me lately because somebody I knew had a very real Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego moment. And I can't tell who they are, but when I tell why, you'll see, because they're liable to get more trouble, but I don't care. But I still can't say who they are. But anyway, they had took a new job, and the job was a powerful job because it had them the opportunity to minister to people that we really need to minister to. And there's been a lot of that going on. It's been great. But the problem was the higher-ups in the company had what they called a culture. And their culture was they expected you to go out and party with them.
Come on.
And party in groups and party just man and woman. Like men CEOs say, I'm taking you out, lady, and we're going to go out to about 11 o'clock and, quote, let's have a few drinks so we can loosen up and know each other better.
Come on.
Now, that's a lot of pressure. Because even if one thing to say, well, I don't drink, but it's also another thing to say, but my witness don't believe in staying out till 11 o'clock with a man when I'm married. Or going out with a group of 20 people partying, even if I'm not drinking. That's not my witness. And that person had a very important decision to make. What do I do? First time, they went to training, and they were told they had to go. They went. They didn't know what it was going to be. They thought it was going to be like a seminar, you know, PowerPoints. And they got there, and there was no PowerPoint, and the liquor was flowing. And about 8 o'clock, they left. They stayed 11. And the next time they were invited to go, they said, I'm not doing it. Then the person drove 6 hours to see her twice to take her out to talk about this issue. And she finally had a meeting with him and said, look, this is not my faith. I'll give you all I want to give you during the week, during the day. I'll work as hard as anybody. I believe in this. I took this as a mission, as a ministry. But my faith won't allow this. And if this is this culture of this company, I guess I'm not meant for your company. And you can fire me if you want to fire me. But I'm not doing it. Now, I say that to say this. When she took that stand, and by the way, after she took the stand, I could say it was a glorious moment, and they all had to come to Jesus' meeting and say, we're never going to do that again. No, didn't happen. He come in and stood over and kind of intimidated her and said, why is this, you know, why are you acting this way? Well, I might want to ask you about your kids sometime. Of course, she could have said, I've met you 6 times, and I don't know anything about any kids. That's all I've heard. All I've heard is about drinking, but she didn't. But she did hear from other females who called her and said, we're afraid to do what you did, but we feel the same way. We feel slimy. We feel intimidated. We feel it's not right. And we appreciate you taking a stand. They didn't fire her, but they said she didn't have to go. We'll see how it goes. Still working on it. We'll see. She may be fired in a week. I don't know. But the point of the story is, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, she had to be willing to take a stand knowing it still might cost her her job. That's the point.
That's the point.
We're always looking for the perfect Disney ending, and we celebrate those stories that has the perfect Disney ending. But sometimes in this story, she's going to get fired.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're going to get fired for your faith. Sometimes you're going to get broken up with for your faith. Sometimes you're going to have friends cut you out, so-called friends, cut you out for your faith. You got to be willing to step in the fire anyway and say, I won't bend, I won't bow, and I won't burn.
Yes. And God will take care of me. Yes. Yes.
I think that's what this era is going to be needing from us as Christians. It's needing us to be willing to take those kind of stands in our lives. And it to be a rock. So I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Just bow your head. And just stay seated. If you're in this room and you believe there's situations in your life lately that have put your faith at test, and you know you need God's strength to be a rock and to make a stand in your home, in your community, in your job, in your school, that you want to be a rock like that, and nobody's looking, would you just raise your hand? I see your hands. That you want God to use you to make a difference and have the courage to take a stand for what's right, even if it costs you. Even if it costs you friends, even if it costs you hangout buddies, even if it costs you money. You really, everybody's cool about it until it starts costing money. Nobody's looking, but I'm going to ask you something. Like that song said earlier, if you want to take that stand, nobody looking, right now I want you to start by just standing at your feet. Just stand.
Yes, yes, yes.
If you're taking a stand right now, stand up. You can't be a rock sitting. You can't be a rock taking the shape of the bottle you're in. A rock falls on the bottle, and the bottle takes the shape of the rock, I promise you. I'm going to ask you to do something powerfully courageous right now. Nobody's still looking. I'm going to ask you to make a stand for your faith. If you're standing, I want you to come stand around this altar. We're going to pray together. Nobody's going to do anything crazy to you. Nobody's going to knock you out or elbow you or headlock you. We're just taking a stand as people are coming all around this altar. We're taking a stand. We're going to pray for strength for you to stand in the face of your adversity. Everybody that raised their hand, come on, just come on up. We're just going to pray. I promise you, it's going to be a good thing. I promise you, don't let the devil talk you out of it. Rocks, take a stand. Come on. You're not going to take a stand in your workplace if you won't take a stand here. This is a warm environment. This is a good environment right here. Come on up. I'm going to ask one more time. One more time. Come on. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. If you raised your hand, come on. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 This is a powerful group. Now, when we make this kind of commitment, I hope we know what we're committing to. It's real deal. It's real deal. So I'm just going to ask these guys that are up here helping pray just to go around and lay hands on each and every person that you have resolved. If you're back there and you're in good shape right now, come up and help pray for people. You say, well, I don't know if I'm qualified for that. Well, if you know Jesus, you're qualified for that. Just come up and lay your hands on different people and just bless them. You don't know what kind of situation each person in this room is going through, what kind of courage they need. They need courage. They need faith. They need resolve to set their face like a rock. Father, right now, Lord, I know in this stage of your time that you've created, that we need to stand out like we've never stood before. We need to be more solid than we've ever been before. We need to be more stable than we've ever been before, Lord. We need to be not so much like a baby who comes and goes, but we need to be like a man or woman that stands solid, stands strong. There stands Jackson like a stone wall. We need to be a stone wall encouraging those around us. And Lord, I pray that you give each and every one of us, me included, my father, our wives, my sister, my brother-in-law, all this ministry team, Lord, all my brothers in this room. I don't want to name my brothers and sisters that I leave out some, but all those that have been called to step up lately, Lord, that you give them resolve, Lord, to make a stand, to be stronger, to be hungry, to be more desperate, to be more in the Word, to be more stable, Lord, for our families, for our church, for our future, for our faith, for your bride's sake, Lord. Let us take that stand, Lord. Let us step into the fire, Lord. Let us be willing to make a stand. Let us be willing to be firewalkers, to step into the fire, Lord. Step in the fire. And Lord, remove anything from our lives. I pray that this group will pray a dangerous prayer, that they are willing to leave behind, to step out of their fire, to step out of their dysfunction, to remove anything in their lives that will impact their destiny or future. We thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.